Accession number 31559, reel 2.
British Red Cross applied, I think, to our physiotherapy appointments board for someone who might start a physiotherapy department in Hatfield House. And I followed that up. And because I don't think I did go to them. I think I went to the British Red Cross, what they call it. And as I would have my apparatus and so on, and they asked me if I'd be interested in starting a physiotherapy department in Hatfield Military Hospital at Hatfield House, and because the military hospital there were offered by Lord Salisbury, Lord Salisbury of the time, the whole of the West Wing, and it was up and running when I applied. Because I had been in touch with them, thinking that they might have an interesting job outside the ordinary run of things. And they asked me if I'd like to start a physiotherapy department in this military hospital. They have the West Wing, and they gave me, they offered me a very large, lovely room leading out onto the, that had French windows that looked out onto the courtyard, and you could see the other wing, what was called East Wing, where the Lord Salisbury was in residence, the Lord Salisbury of the time. And I thought that this would be a very nice way to make use of my apparatus and so on, and do an interesting job. And so I took my apparatus there, and I also put all my electro equipment, of course, and it also included my green carpet that my grandmother had given me for a birthday present. That was in the main room I had in Ennismore Gardens, and so they had it. And when I said they had, of course, I was there too, and I started this department, and they supplied the plinths, and also gave me an orderly, and it was on the ground floor, and there was a section for officers and wards. Some of the officers had only perhaps two or three people in it, and some wards for the other ranks. And anyway, I bought all my electric equipment there, and worked alone at first, and then a local physiotherapist heard about it and offered her services. So she came, and the department was also given an orderly to look after, keep it clean and that sort of thing. And But that was a very nice beginning. I was very pleased to give my apparatus to the British Red Cross knew they would look after me in it. And we had an orderly, but it was fairly a certain amount of work to do, of course. Patients would have knee problems. Being the beginning of the war, the wounded didn't come in immediately, but there were people who needed treatment for their all kinds of conditions, and then. But when the wounded soldiers came from Dunkirk and began to fill the hospital, I was allowed to appoint a second full-time physiotherapist, and I got someone from the through the Charles Society appointments, and her name was Lorna Pryor, and she came and lived locally as I did, and she was a great asset. And after the war, actually, she set up the Cheshire Institute in Jordan, and I kept in touch with her until finally she died. And so that's how it started. We were we lived locally on the hill to the entrance of Hatfield House. It's a side entrance, actually, where the tradesmen probably would go, but it was quite a handsome entrance there. But anyone who was coming to see Lord Salisbury or Lady Salisbury would come at the main entrance and come up with their carriages or whatever, or their cars, through a park, and then come to the courtyard and go in by the front entrance of the Hatfield House. But we lived on this hill, which is rather nice. It was called what's it called now? Fourth Street, that's right. Fourth Street. And some people who had nice houses on that Fourth Street on the hill were employed at the west wing of Hatfield House. And sometimes in the evenings we would go to the little pub there, which must have been there for many, many years. It had a very small saloon bar, very, very minute. And we'd go there and meet the officers who were called walking wounded, the walking wounded. And there was one fellow who was a pilot, very tall, reddish hair, and a wonderful red moustache. And he was full of life. And he'd had a very nasty injury to his knee. And we called him Handlebar Hanks. And there were others too. It was quite small. And the woman who served us with beer or whatever, she would come. She was very pleased about the hospital using this. And she'd come and give us some beer or whatever. And it was really quite an amusing evening. Lorna came and I did, and some of the walking officers. And Lady Salisbury was very pleased that about having the West Wing used by the army. I think they did it in the First World War, actually. And also that there was a physiotherapy department there, because her son, Lord Robert Cecil, who was to become Lord Salisbury, he was being treated somewhere down the south, and she arranged for him to come up and stay with them and come over for treatment. And he was a very nice young man, very natural, and of course I treated him, and one day, it was an amusing incident. I had a wax bath that had become overheated. It was a wax bath in a receptacle for them to put their arms in or their feet in. Quite a useful form of treatment, and a simple one. And when one wanted to use it, you had to heat it up a bit. And I asked my orderly to, because I'd need it for Lord Cecil. I was giving him his exercises and so on, and he put it in the sort of sink on the ground. The tap was up here, and he put the water straight into the wax, and of course completely nullified its use, and also meant that one had to start that all over again, which took some time. The wax had to be melted and so on, and so I was furious at this. And it was a rather amusing incident, because Lord Cecil said, when I came back to him to go on with his exercises, he said, "I've never seen anyone's face look so angry as yours." And he was roaring with laughter, and tears were trickling down his face. But he was a very nice fellow, and I thought, "Oh my God, I didn't know that."
For what was he being treated?
Mm-hmm.
For what was he being treated?
He hadn't got a very serious injury, actually. for his elbow and hands, it wasn't a war wound, but I think he must have been doing some training, and he injured his elbow, and it affected the muscles going to the fingers. And so it was a muscular injury, really.
Did Lord and Lady Salisbury involve themselves in the running of the hospital?
No. It was run, actually, the British Red Cross arranged it, but I think the colonel in charge of the hospital, he was a fairly senior soldier. Certainly was a colonel, and they were responsible for for the patients they had. I don't know what the hierarchy was with the army, but
how did your own practice fit into the system? Mm-hmm. Were you operating your practice at the hospital in a private capacity still, or was it?
No, I was paid. I was paid by the Red Cross, yes. And I think that whether the Salisbury's gave it gratis, as it were, the wing, or whether there were, I think probably was some sort of financial arrangement about it, but the army was definitely responsible for the patients that came there, and was discharged and so on to their units or whatever. Yes.
Did you have any responsibility for diagnosing?
Hmm?
Did you have a responsibility for diagnosing or?
yes. The doctors that were there would send me a card with a patient's name and what was wrong with him and so on, and asked me to see them, and on the whole, what treatment they had was rather left in my hands. But if there was any complication, I would always discuss it with the houseman. Yes. And at one time, there was a time when we had these French windows which led out into the courtyard, and across the way would be the east wing, and then to our right, as we faced it from the opposite direction to the front of the building, there was a huge park, and I was able to use that in the end, some of it, for when some of the men were getting much better, I could take them out and they could have a sort of class of and do some physiotherapy, well, do some exercises and so on. So that was a very nice adjunct to it. I was there from 1940 to 42, and it was a general hospital, really. So I thought it'd be rather interesting to move on, and incidentally, at one point, we had the hospital evacuated from the East Coast, because I think they were. The German army were bombing the East Coast, and I think they were worried that we might have an entry. What do you call it? That they might attack the East Coast, and to.
You mean as a sort of. As a disruption.
Yes, and enter the country from that, away from all the south where all our guns were and all our planes were. And I think they were frightened they might do this. So this hospital out there was evacuated, and some of them came to Hatfield House. And two physios came with it. Quite a big hospital, and one stayed and the other didn't like it very much, and she went off to another job. And anyway, I thought it was time for me to move on. It was a rather general hospital, and so I got onto the Joint Society Appointments Board, and I was offered a job, although there was a job that was going. At Wingfield Orthopaedic Hospital in Oxford, and they had a peripheral nerve injury centre which was part of the Wingfield, but it was not situated in their hospital grounds in Oxford, but up the hill at Ripon Hall. That had was owned by I can't remember now, but it was I think it was that they were evacuated anyway. I think it subsided because of the war, and so the Wingfield Orthopaedic arranged to make use of Ripon Hall, and it was a big place, and the idea of using it was to use it for peripheral nerve injuries, and Professor Seddon, who was at the Wingfield Orthopaedic, he was a leading neurosurgeon. And he carried out a revolutionary treatment for peripheral nerves that had been severed by gunshot wounds, so that it would be in the arms or the legs. And could be in the upper arm or in the thigh or wherever, and of course it would be useless to the patient. And this is rather interesting, that this involved sewing the severed nerve sheath together, so that with the help of electrical treatment and exercises, the neurons which were run down inside the sheath would regrow, and they had the protection of the sheath and the muscles and recover. Most of the patients treated at Rippenhall were these special gunshot wounds, and with the electrical treatment and exercises, the neurons would regrow and the muscles recover. And we used galvanic treatment first, because they wouldn't respond to ferritism, because they weren't fully grown. And it was rather interesting, and they interesting work, and quite a slow process, the growth of the neurons. So that was very interesting. And and I had two physiotherapists there, and the men were up and about during the day and allowed to go out and into town and so on. Anyway, when I was at Rippenhall in Oxford, my future husband happened to come to Oxford to take a course at Oriel College, and as was their wont, they some of the people who were housed there were doing different courses, and the weekend they would see if there was a notice up for a dance on somewhere, because most of the country had, you know, dances arranged for the troops. And the secretary at Wingfield Orthopaedic Main Hospital in the town I knew quite well, because she was a physiotherapist in charge, and she helped negotiate my coming, because the Professor Seddon was actually in America teaching his method for the peripheral nerves, and for some strange reason the man in charge decided to get a physiotherapist. But anyway, he came back, and I was working for him. Anyway, the secretary to the Wingfield Orthopaedic said, "Oh, are you going to this dance?" So I said, "Oh, no, you know, one goes quite a few," and I was, I suppose, and so he said, "Oh yes, but it says it's going to be in Rippenhall, where you're working, and be quite a nice sort of venue, not a huge hall, you know." And so I said, "Oh, okay. All right, I'll come." And then I met John at it, because he came up to it. And I remember so well, so like him, as I found out later, that we were dancing and he felt a bit hot, and he took off his jacket, and we continued to dance. But I remember that afterwards, after I was married, I realized that this was quite a, that he tended to get hot like that and throw off. It's rather amusing. Anyway, we met and got on rather well. And then he asked me to the Mitre for dinner or something of the sort. And he was he and another guy came with him to do this course, and we met up and had dinner and so on. Anyway, then he left, finished the course. He was back from Africa by then, because he'd been wounded in Africa, in his leg, and whereas now he has this drop foot, and he wears a rather more modern device that runs on down the back of his leg and into his shoe. But then he wrote to me, and then he came back, and we did various things together, got on rather well. And because I met many people, as you can imagine, at Hatfield. But actually, when I went to Oxford, I decided I wouldn't get married. I don't know why. I remember thinking this so seriously. And of course, I met John. And then we met up. And then, of course, he got back to his regiment. And because he knew the fellows, and it was so much nicer to get back to a regiment. And of course, they were, after a time, they were sent over to France from the Channel. And anyway, then I met him up afterwards, and then we got married.
Did you find that you previously had been receiving a lot of attention from the...
I'm sorry?
Did you find that you received a lot of attention from your...
From
your patients?
Yes, one did. Yes. Yes, at Hatfield, and particularly at Hatfield, because they were freer to... They could go out for a meal they were quite liberal about that. Whereas at Ripon Hall, Oxford, I don't think they may have gone out, I don't know, but they were there for a specific period. But at Hatfield, that was quite true, and some of them were very, very nice and very interesting. Handled by Hanks, he was rather a nice fellow, very tall, and quite a number of them. And Lorna Prower, who was my first addition to the department, she was considerably older than I was. Don't know quite how much older. I think she must have been about 30 or something. You know? And she had one or two affairs which didn't come to anything. But, no, and I don't know, I suppose I was rather serious or something. I took my work rather seriously. And I went back at certain weekends. I had a car. And I was given petrol rationing. I could get petrol because they liked the idea of being able to go to your home and your parents. My father was working during the day, but the weekend he'd be there. And that was Bushey Heath, just north of Watford, where they were living. And it was nice for them to see me because... my other sisters were further apart, and so I went back. I remember once when I coming back to Hatfield, someone stopped me. Could he have a lift to somewhere quite close, really? And I thought, oh goodness, he's got a violin case with him. I wonder what's in it. And anyway, I thought, well, it would rather a mean to say, no, I won't, you see, and so I did. I was a little bit worried. But anyway, he got out at the point he wanted to, and all was well. But there was one very nasty occasion when I went back home, and